Welcome to Hope Is Here. My name is Greg Horn, and we're going to talk about addiction over the next three programs, and we're going to talk specifically about alcohol addiction. And, you know, we hear about drugs and things that cause things, death, and can do it immediately, but the number one addiction in the United States is alcohol, and it's glamorous, and we see it on all the sports commercials and things, and yet, unfortunately, it destroys a lot of people's lives. In fact, when I worked at Lighthouse Ministries on staff for 2 years in Lexington, we had a men's recovery program, and I was surprised to find out that 75% of the guys there were because of alcohol addiction. But the good news is that God, through His Son Jesus, can help us to get healing, and we're going to be talking with Danny Dotson over the next three programs. And Danny's been involved in ministry off and on for over 30 years, and yet had a season in his life. Unfortunately, alcohol just took over, but the good news is he's celebrating over a year of sobriety. So, Danny, first of all, just thanks for being with us on Hope Is Here today and sharing your story, man.
Oh, Greg, thank you very much for the opportunity, and it's good to talk to you today.
Well, Danny and I have known each other. We both were executive pastors, and we knew each other, and we had several mutual friends where he attended Cincinnati Bible College. But, Danny, I know the last few years have been really rough up until this past 14 months where you've been sober. But like a lot of addictions, yours just wasn't something that, you know, just kind of, you know, was something that was constant. It just kind of snuck up out of nowhere, didn't it, on you?
Yeah, more or less just trying to learn how to deal with feelings, Greg. And I didn't grow up really being able to share feelings and get them out, and struggled most of my life with being able to express feelings and just dealing with some bad situations in my life. The answer seemed to be to numb it and not have to deal with the feelings. And alcohol brought that numbing effect, and the more that I tried to numb the problem away, the more alcohol began to take over my life, until there came a point where my life was unmanageable and alcohol was running it.
Well, one of the things that, you know, for your story, I think is so powerful, because, you know, one of the things with Hope Is Here, we're trying to let people say it's okay to say, hey, I'm struggling, or I've got some wounds, I've got some pain. You don't have to wear your mask at church. But things were going really well for you. You were part of a great church in Illinois. In fact, had gotten a big promotion right before you started to have your first your DUI. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I spent almost 10 years in Illinois, and started there in youth ministry, and the last couple of years had begun to talk with the leadership of the church about the potential of moving into a role of executive pastor. They had never had that before. And I just had two children spread out over a couple of years, and was general contracting my own house, helping run a landscape business, employing some local Bible college students, trying to help them make some money, and dealing with some family issues that I had grown up with, and suddenly found myself in a place that I didn't understand. I did not know, Greg, what was going on in my life. I would show up at home at the end of the day and walk in the door crying. My wife would wonder why and ask me, and I said, I don't know. I just guess I'm tired, and I had a big summer ahead of me. The church had just had my wife and I on stage and not only introduced us as the new executive pastors, but also introduced us as the heir apparent if anything happened to the senior pastor. And I had a lot of speaking engagements coming up. As a matter of fact, in May of 96, I traveled to Chicago on an evening, spoke there for a youth leadership event, about 300 and some people. And on the way home, decided I had an early morning meeting and I might just need to stay awake, stop to buy some caffeine to keep me awake on the drive home. And ended up in one of those moments where a battle happened in my mind as I stood before a cooler door with a employee shouting to me, I'm closing, make your choice. And I grabbed a six-pack of beer, hearing a voice on one side of my shoulder saying, you deserve some peace, just have a beer, relax, drive home, everything will be fine. And on the other side, a little voice saying, you know better, this isn't you, you shouldn't do this, this is trouble. And the employee shouted one more time, I need to close. I grabbed the beer, got in my vehicle, and 6 miles from my home that evening, I rolled the vehicle in the median of the highway and was cut out of the vehicle, charged with a DUI. And life changed drastically that night for me and Shelley and our two kids. And that was kind of the beginning of an exploration and what I call a journey in my life to where I am today.
Well, I just think it's so powerful because, you know, we see people that are on a stage at church on Sundays, and I've been doing that off and on now for the last 17 years. And, you know, you're at a church of 1,500, and God's just promoted you, and you had over 30 speaking engagements that summer. You just spoke at a youth rally, over 300 people there, and yet fatigue and just staying busy, and a lot of them were good things. You're even providing jobs for some Christian kids at a Christian college with a landscaping business. Yet, I think one of the things I want people to hear is that, man, when we get fatigued, the enemy can have a field day with us sometimes, can he?
Oh, absolutely, Greg. And fatigue comes for a reason. You know, it's not just physical. Fatigue comes mentally and emotionally. And, you know, I was dealing with it, but I didn't know I was dealing with it. We're just not taught. I wasn't prepared anyway. And it all came crashing down. And luckily, I had a couple of good friends who said, why don't you come west to Arizona and we'll help you heal over the next couple of years, get you back in shape for ministry. And that started our journey and our move to Arizona, where we've been almost 25 years now.
Well, you're in a beautiful area out there in Mesa, and that's where you and I met about 10 years ago. But I know one thing, though, that happened that was a game changer, and one of the reasons I started Hope Is Here was on March 3rd, 1998. Share about what happened that day.
March 3rd, 1998, 2 days before my father's birthday. He would have been 62 on March the 5th, and it's interesting, Greg. That morning, my mother and father-in-law had been here with us in Arizona. They live in Ohio, but they'd been here in Arizona for a couple of weeks visiting with us, and I took them to the airport early on that Monday morning to fly back to Ohio. My wife's dad's a farmer. Not a hugger, doesn't express emotions, things like that. He'd always patted me on the back, shook my hand. But on that morning, as I got out of the van and was setting their bags on the sidewalk, he gave me a big old bear hug and said, I love you and you're a great son-in-law. And that had never happened, through our friendship, our engagement, our married life. And I got back in the van. I'm driving to my church office to work, and I'm crying because I don't know how to respond to what had just happened. And I called my wife and said, "You're not going to believe this. Your dad just hugged me and told me he loved me, and I was a great son-in-law." And my wife said, "No way. My dad doesn't do that." I said, "Yeah, it just happened. It really did." And the scary thought for me is, you know, what if I never see him again? What if this is kind of a signal, or, you know, one of those deja vu moments, I called it. My wife said, don't think like that, you know, it's not that. And so I get into my office, I unpack my, you know, my briefcase, I sat down, start looking at my to-do list for the day, and telephone rang. And it was my aunt calling me from North Carolina, and the words out of her mouth were, Danny, your dad shot himself this morning, and he's gone, and you need to come home to North Carolina. And that was a huge turning point in my life, and just really started me down a spiral that still to this day, you know, Greg, March the 3rd's coming, and I still have difficulty dealing with the emotions and the feelings of that day. But I certainly now grasp what it's like to be on the side of losing a loved one and a family member because they took their own life.
Well, that's why we started Hope Is Here back in December of 2017. And, you know, people that are listening, just once again, just, you know, begging you to reach out for help so you don't get to that point. We've talked on our two programs earlier this week about there's a number 1-800-273-TALK, 1-800-273-8255 that you can call somebody any time of day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, or if you like to text, 741-741, you can text anytime, any day, 7 days a week. So reach out to people, because unfortunately, Danny's dad, his life ended prematurely because of suicide, and I just can't imagine the pain as a son that that you were carrying by that man. That had to really hurt.
Well, it was very confusing. You know, I didn't see it coming. Nobody saw it coming. Obviously, you know, my dad was a loved man, but he was dealing with something that he couldn't tell anybody about and didn't know how to deal with it. And, you know, I've come to grips with what I believe to be that my father did what he thought was the most loving thing he could possibly do, and that was end his life. And yet for the rest of us, life goes on, you know, and it was a real difficult thing for my mother, being alone and losing the loved one of her life. And because of the DUI I'd had back in Illinois a couple of years earlier, my mom blamed me for my dad's death. You know, she would say, "It's your fault. Your dad could never deal with your DUI. He didn't know what to do. He wasn't proud of you anymore. And you're the reason the love of my life is gone." And so for the next, 14 years, you know, every time I talked to my mom, she either said it or I was thinking about it because she said it so frequently. And emotionally, you know, you start to believe it. Intellectually, I know I'm not responsible for my father's death, but emotionally, I started wondering if maybe it was true. You know, he wasn't proud of me and he didn't love me. And here I am trying to be a pastor and offer grace and mercy and help to other people, and inside I'm a mess, and I don't know who I can talk to. You know, I didn't feel like I had anybody I could talk to at that point.
Well, that's where I just, you know, want people to know that, you know, pastors are real and they have heartache and aches and pain. And Danny, obviously, as you've heard his story here, was dealing with a lot of incredible pain, yet God was using him. And church he was out in Arizona just really grew, and he kept getting promoted, but unfortunately alcohol was kind of gonna rear its ugly head in just a powerful way. And so I hope that you'll join us again tomorrow as we're going to continue our conversation with Danny Dotson, because there's over 3 million people that struggle with alcohol in the United States. In fact, some recent research has shown that 1 in 8 Americans struggles with alcohol. So we're going to hear Danny's story tomorrow and the third day, and there's a great ending to it. But we want you to join us tomorrow. Invite somebody else to join us tomorrow. I'm Greg Horn with Danny Dotson on Hope Is Here.
CMI is your full-service human resources provider in Central Kentucky. For 15 years, CMI Human Resources has taken great pride in helping organizations and people work. Whether it's employee handbooks or help in filling a position, no job is too large or too small for CMI. Contact the professionals today at CMI Human Resources, 859-296-2800, or online at cmiconsulting.com.